I'm Audrey Carvel. I'm in Washington, D.C. this Tuesday morning. It is Election Day across the United States, the day when millions of voters will decide between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump for their next president. In 1972, Hunter S. Thompson, the famous American journalist, wrote a book called Fear and Loathing, a scathing critique of American society, the disillusionment which had permeated it, the countercultural rebellion. It was seen as a journey into the heart of America's underbelly. Well, there has been much fear and loathing in this presidential campaign. Trump comparing Harris to an animal, baselessly questioning if she was a substance abuser, baselessly questioning if she has a drink problem, saying she has a low IQ. Trump saying he wouldn't mind too much if an assassin shot through what he called the fake news media to get to him. Harris calling Trump a fascist, Biden seemingly calling Trump's supporters garbage. There is a real edge in Washington these days. The centre of the Capitol has all but emptied out. There are steel barriers and hoardings around the White House to the extent that all that is visible is its roof. Police and army are on high alert in case of violence once the result is known. It's the same across the country. In the southern state of Arizona, a swing state, there is razor wire, thick black iron fencing, metal detectors, armed security guards, and bomb sweeps. This is all in a count center. Plans are in place for drones, officers on horseback, and police snipers on rooftops. Maricopa County there became the center of election conspiracy theories during the 2020 election after Donald Trump spread unfounded claims of voter fraud when he lost to Joe Biden by fewer than 11,000 votes. This is the United States of America in 2024. The candidates held their last rallies of the campaign in the past few hours. Two vital swing states were the locations. Kamala Harris was in Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, and she made a final appeal for unity.
Our people-powered movement reflects a simple and undeniable truth that we are all in this together. We are all in this together. So we have one day to get this done, which means now we need to get to work and get out the vote. So let's reach out once again to our family members, friends, classmates, neighbors, co-workers, knowing and reminding them that we all have so much more in common than what separates us. And let us please remind everyone that your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power.
That's Kamala Harris. Well, Donald Trump was in Grand Rapids in the other important swing state of Michigan. He was nearly 2 hours late to it after doing rallies in three other states first. He says he will win this election.
I mean, he's the worst president in the history of our country. She's the worst vice president. She got no votes. You know, they like to say that's not the Democratic way to go. You know, it's just a terrible thing. They put America last. We put America first. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down, and we will never, ever surrender. Together, we will fight, 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 and we will win, win, win. November 5th, today, will be the most important day in the history of our country. And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again.
That's Donald Trump. Well, it is 20 past three in the morning, Washington time, and we are joined in studio now by Catherine Lucy, White House reporter for The Wall Street Journal. You're very good to come out of your bed, Catherine, and talk to us on Morning
Ireland.
It's great
to be here.
We're very grateful to you. Tell me, who do you think has finished their campaign stronger?
That's a hard one, obviously. It's, you know, this has been such a competitive race, and all the polling shows that it is still so closely locked right down to the final moments. And I think what's clear from what we've seen of both candidates over the last couple of days is how close they see it. There's seven battleground states that we've seen this race play out in. And they've been visiting all of them over the last few days. They haven't, no one has left a state out or stopped going somewhere. So they both see opportunity. And they both put in a big day yesterday, obviously, with, you know, Harris focused on Pennsylvania, concluded on the art museum steps in Philadelphia, making, I think, references to the movie Rocky, obviously, for those who know it. You know, obviously, it was an underdog story, so she clearly wanted the comparison there. But, you know, Trump also went through several swing states, ending, as you said, in Michigan. So they're both really powering to the final moments there as they're trying to get out the vote.
Trump got a big endorsement from Joe Rogan, the podcaster with the biggest following in the United States. Is that significant?
That's right. I mean, that is a big endorsement for him. Joe Rogan is hugely popular. And particularly, this is an election that has really revealed a substantial gender gap. Harris does better with women. Trump does better with men. And the path forward for him, were he to win, is to really get men out, and young men who often don't vote. And so that's the kind of endorsement that potentially could be useful for that.
Does he have the ground troops to get the people out to vote? Or did he rely too much on the big rallies? You hear about the Democrats in the various towns and communities going to the people, calling to their houses, bringing them to the polling booth.
It's an interesting question. Certainly, the Democrats have built a massive get-out-the-vote operation. Her campaign has been talking a lot in recent days about just the scale of the number of doors they're knocking on, the number of calls they're making. And they've been building that since, you know, Joe Biden was the candidate. So they have a huge operation in place. Trump's campaign has outsourced at least some of that work to outside groups, which makes it a little harder for us to assess just how much they're doing. I will say, obviously, in 2016... you know, Hillary Clinton had more got out the vote than Trump did, and he won. Mm. So, you know, these things are significant. Get out the vote operations do move the vote, but they're just one of the pieces, right?
The first polls will close at midnight Irish time. That will be the poll in Virginia. The counting will then begin. Catherine, what do we need to watch out for with Trump to see how he's doing?
I mean, this could take a while. Mm. Obviously, in 2020, the winner was not clear until the Saturday. So we're going to see results from some, but not full results from not all of the states.
What indicators? Where do we need to be focusing our attention on?
A couple states that we should get more results from early on would be North Carolina and Georgia, potentially. So I think the states where we're going to get more results early could suggest where this is going. I mean, they might not if they're very close. Caveats after caveats here, obviously. But there will be some states where we'll get more complete results this evening. And that's kind of where we need to be looking. States like Pennsylvania are going to take longer.
Mm-hmm. And it's all important, isn't it? Because of the swing states, it has the most electoral college votes, which will ultimately elect the president.
That's right. It is a complicated system, but it goes by each state has a certain number of electoral college votes. In terms of the states that are in play, Pennsylvania has the most. It makes it's very hard for anyone to win without Pennsylvania. Not impossible, but hard. And that is why you have seen the candidate spending so much time in Pennsylvania and why Harris closed out in Pennsylvania. She did rallies in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia last night. So on both sides of the state.
But they're secure Democratic cities, aren't they? It's
yes,
the rural parts of Pennsylvania.
But what you need to do for a Democrat to win Pennsylvania, you need to get out your vote in the cities. She needs to get the vote out in the suburban areas around the city. So that's what you're doing with those rallies. And then you're trying to hold the margins in the more rural and the smaller areas. And so she also was in Reading, Pennsylvania, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, smaller cities with significant Latino populations, which is another group that she's been really courting in the last few weeks.
I mentioned in the introduction just how empty Washington, D.C. feels and felt to us as we were walking and driving around it yesterday. And the security is very, very evident. What are people expecting over the days ahead?
That's a hard one. I don't know if anyone's completely sure what to expect. Obviously, 2020, we were in COVID, and so it was a different time. I think there is a lot of anxiety. This has been a very contentious and divisive election, and feelings are running high. I think we just have to see how this is going to play out.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, very grateful to you again for coming in to talk to us here this morning. Catherine Lucy, White House reporter for The Wall Street Journal.